Book of Revelation is divided into three parts. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 is the outline. Revelation chapter 1, the things which are. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the present church age. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is all future. During the book of Revelation, throughout the book of Revelation, there are what we call parentheses. You all know what a parenthesis is, right? Chapter 7 is one of the many parentheses. Let me turn this thing on just for the heck of it. Yeah, thank you. Electricity. Revelation chapter 7 is a parenthesis in the book of Revelation. All the activity stops, and the Lord shows us a little bit of something extra that is taking place. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, if you will. The Jehovah Witnesses claim that they will be part of the 144,000. Well, that can't be true, because the 144,000, they would have to be a Jew. They would have to be a male virgin. They would have to be men, of course, and they would have to be the first fruits. Well, that leaves the Jehovah Witnesses out and everybody else. They're not. Beginning in verse 4, if you will. Remember, these people are sealed in their foreheads so that they cannot be hurt. The key word is testimony. If you remember in Revelation chapter 11, which we haven't got there yet, but there are two witnesses. They witness during the first half of the seven-year tribulation. They lead 144,000 Jews to Christ. That's why they're called first fruits. The 144,000 Jews lead a multitude to Christ. And you can see that multitude in chapter 7, verse 9, through the rest of the chapter. But what I want you to look at this morning is a little something else that some of you may be familiar with and some of you may not. Verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, of the 144,000, on down to the bottom of the verse, and all the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 5, and of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Levi, verse 7, 12,000. Issachar, 12,000. Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. Benjamin, 12,000. Now then, if you will, we're going to come back here, so hold your place, but go, if you will, to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. There's something missing. You may want to write these tribes down. You may want to. I don't know. In Genesis chapter 49, look in verse 1. Very important in verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. By the way, this is the first time the word or the phrase last days is mentioned in the Bible. The first time. And he's talking about the last days of Israel before the kingdom. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Notice the name. Verse 3. Reuben, my firstborn. Then on down to chapter, verse 5 rather. Simeon and Levi. Those are the next two. You got Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Then on down in verse 8, if you will. The tribe of Judah. So now we have 1, 2, 3, 4 so far, right? Okay, verse 13. Zebulun. How many is that? 5. Verse 14, Issachar. Now he goes on to, Jacob goes on to tell them what each tribe will be like in the latter days. What's going to happen to them? What's going to take place? Issachar. So how many we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Next one, verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel so that his rider shall fall backward. We're going to come back to that verse later, shortly. But let's go on. So we have the tribe of Dan. Follow me so far? 19, the tribe of Gad. 20, the tribe of Asher. And then the tribe of Naphtali. The tribe of Joseph. And finally, the tribe of Benjamin in verse 27. Okay, how many is that so far? Should be 12, right? Should be 12. Okay, so we have 12 tribes. Notice the names. Did you write them down? Did you write down the names? Okay, now hold your place there and go back to Revelation chapter 7. Okay? Notice the names that you had wrote down. You know, someone may ask you about this someday. You have to have an answer, don't you? Okay, verse 5, Revelation chapter 7. We have Judah, right? Reuben in verse 5, and Gad, that's 3. In verse 6, we have Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon. In verse 7, and Levi, and Issachar. And then in verse 8, you have Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Does anybody notice any difference? The tribe of Dan. It's not there, is it? Well, gee whiz. Who is there? Manasseh, right? Okay. Whatever happened to the tribe of Dan? Notice what it says. They were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel, but the tribe of Dan is not mentioned. The tribe of Dan was replaced by Manasseh. Well, there's a reason for that. And I'm going to try to explain it as simply as I can. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 49, if you will. Notice what it says in verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heel so that his rider shall fall backwards. But notice in verse 16, Dan shall judge his people. Well, if Dan's going to judge his people, how come God didn't mention his name as one of the 144,000 in Revelation? Well, there's an answer to all this, and it's very simple. But notice verse 17 once again. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path. Do you realize, if you've had anything to do with horses, when I was a boy in West Virginia, horses did a lot of things. But if a horse came across a rattlesnake or a copperhead, it would balk. And if you were riding a horse, oftentimes it would rear up, throw the rider off, or buck the rider off, or whatever. Funny that a little old snake would startle a horse like that. And he says, Dan shall be a serpent, by the way. Think about it. An adder in the path that biteth the horse heels. Why does a horse balk when he comes across a snake? Because the snake attacks it. The horse knows that. There's a good chance it could make the horse sick or kill it. The horse knows that. So his rider shall fall backwards. He rears up, the rider falls off. Makes perfect sense, right? You ever watch an old western? Sure, I like old westerns. Horse bucks, jumps up, the rider falls off backwards because of a snake. It's a true story. And God put it in here for a reason. Okay, now with all that in mind, turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 19. Let's go to Joshua chapter 19. And then we'll go to Judges chapter 18. in Joshua chapter 19. Go to verse 40, if you will. In the book of Joshua, we have the account of the nation of Israel receiving their property that God gave them. And by the way, do you know this, that all the property that they're fighting about over in the Middle East belongs to Israel, belongs to God, but he's given it. It's called the Lend Lease Program. God owns it, gives it to Israel, okay? Dan has an inheritance in the land, just like the other tribes. Verse 40, and the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families. And then the Bible goes on to give the measurements or the border lines of all the property. And the border or the coast of their inheritance was Zorah and so forth and so forth. Verse 47. And the border, the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem. Now, it was too little for them in their own mind. If it was too little for them, why did God give it to them? It was too little for them in their own mind. They wanted more. It wasn't enough. And so, in verse 47, they went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan, their father, and the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families and so forth and so forth. Now turn over, if you will, to Judges chapter 18. Was never enough for Dan, like most people today. When is it ever enough? Verse 8, verse 1, Judges chapter 18. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Well, it should have. The tribe of Dan went about it wrong. God gave it to them. Why did they not get it? It was their own fault. And we could go into that story and chase that rabbit for 100 miles, but we're not going to do that. Dan had their property. God gave it to them. But there's a lot of insinuating circumstances going on here. And so Dan decided that they would take some property. And they went up to take some property. You can read the rest of this for yourself. And let's go on down, if you will, to, let's see, we don't want to read the whole thing. Verse 14, we'll go down. Then answered the five men who went up to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, do you know that there are these houses, an ephod, a teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you have to do. And they turned aside, is the correct thither word, is what the King James says. But anyway, they turned and went in that direction. And came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even into the house of Micah, and saluted, greeted him. Verse 17, and the five men who went up to spy out the land went up and came and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entrance, or the entering the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were appointed. Verse 18, and these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, the molded image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family of Israel? And then down to verse 20. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the possessions, the belongings, the possessions, says carriage in the King James. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were of the house near, verse 23, and they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? So here's the story. Look up here, if you will. The tribe of Dan went in to claim more inheritance because they didn't seem to have enough. Sounds like most people to me. And when they got there, they realized that the people that they were going to conquer had a priest who had a lot of golden images and images, and he was a priest and he was a false prophet, and they decided that they wanted that priest for their own. Why would you serve this one family? Now you can serve a whole tribe of people. And so they took the priest and the graven images, and the tribe of Dan worshipped these images. And when they did, they lost their testimony. They lost their testimony. And so, with all that in mind, now that you know, that is the reason the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. Not because they lost their inheritance, but because they lost their testimony. And because they lost their testimony, they lost their right to serve in the kingdom.
They were worshiping idols.
Now, the point I want to make about all of this, I'm almost out of time, but the point I want to make out of all this is very simply this. I know some people who have put their faith and trust in Christ, and then because of self-righteousness, they went about adding to the simple gospel, simply because they were religious and pride-filled and self-righteous and Bible-ignorant, and they have lost their testimony, no matter how cute they are, no matter how fancy they are. And you had a man speak in this church once that fits that category 100%. He was saved, but because of self-righteousness, he added, he lost his testimony. He has none. And when the kingdom is set up, when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we have to give our testimony, we're going to say, Lord, he's going to say, what did you do? And you're going to say, well, I did this, I did that. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you have to be saved, but you may not have a testimony. You know why? Because I had a false message. I got saved in a church, and then I went into false religion, and I lost my testimony. And when the time comes to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your brand new glorified body, and you will not be a servant. You will not have what the other person has. You will have less. The Bible says we will reign as kings and priests in the kingdom. You will not have the reign that you wish you had in the kingdom. If you are like the tribe of Dan, you will lose your testimony. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 48, if you will, and then we're going to go back to Genesis, and we'll close with that. But we need to go to Ezekiel chapter 48. In Ezekiel chapter 48, I want you to notice something. Remember now, the land is given to Israel, right? In the kingdom, the land belongs to Israel. They will get all of their inheritance back. Israel, the 12 tribes. By the way, Palestine will not belong to those lousy, stinking Palestinians. It will once again belong to Israel. And just as I want to point something out, in case you don't know this, the Palestinians over there in next to Israel are a pawn. They call them homeless, misplaced refugees. That is a lie. The news media says they're refugees and Israel's taken their land and they have no home. That is a lie. Satan uses them as a pawn for everyone to hate Israel. That's going to stop there with that. Chapter 48, Ezekiel. I want you to notice something very important here. Now, these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath and the border of Damascus northward and so forth. For these are its sides, east and west. Notice the first thing God says concerning the kingdom, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion. Notice the first thing God said. Dan will have his inheritance in the kingdom, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And then he goes on down to say, and he lists all the other tribes, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben. Remember, Manasseh and Ephraim were not tribes. They were children of Joseph. But because they had a testimony, they had a right to the inheritance. But Dan lost its right to rule in the kingdom. That's why his name is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. He lost his right to rule in the kingdom because he lost his testimony. If you and I, as saved, born-again Christians, lose our testimony and we leave this earth and be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom, we will not have our right to rule. Think about it. Some Christian that you thought was worthless is going to rule over you in the kingdom because they had a better testimony. Now then, back to Genesis chapter 49, and then we'll close with this. But I want to point something else out before we close. All the way back to Genesis chapter 49. I'm surprised anybody's here this morning, because last week, if you remember, I said if you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, he'll be ashamed of you. I'm surprised I didn't run people off for that one. But anyhow, back to chapter 49 of Genesis. Verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes. Well, didn't we just say that he's not going to rule in the kingdom? He'll get his inheritance. Well, if he's going to judge his people, how's he going to do that? Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. You can take it and do whatever you want to with it. Notice what it says. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path. Some people say, and I believe, that the Antichrist will come out of the tribe of Dan. Personally, I'm inclined to believe that. If the Antichrist comes out of the tribe of Dan, will he not be a serpent, by the way? Will he not be an adder in the path of the nation of Israel? Will he not cause Israel to accept him as their real Messiah? Yes, he will. He will cause Israel to accept the covenant at his hands, the Antichrist. Many of the nation of Israel, at least two-thirds, will follow the Antichrist and wind up in hell when they die, because they will trust him as their Messiah. He will be an adder in the way. And because of that, that is one way he can judge his people. But I don't believe he will judge his people in the kingdom. Why? Because he lost his testimony. Isn't this sad? In Judges chapter 18, he lost his testimony. He took the priest and the idols. And they didn't even know what the priest believed, by the way. Isn't it nice when you see a preacher all dressed up in his fancy three-piece suit with a big smile on his face, preaching a lie, but we love him? My brother and his wife, when they were from California not too long ago, we got on a discussion of religion a little bit, and they said, "Do you listen to Joel Osteen?" I said, "No, he's a joke. He's a false prophet." And they said, "Well, how can you say that? It's easy. He's a false prophet."
He even said he wasn't. Didn't go to school.
He admits it. Yeah, he admits it. But he's loved because he has a big smile on his face. He's over in Jerusalem now, by the way. He's got a thing going on over there where he's going to save the Israel. Isn't that wonderful? How can you save Israel? You're not God. But if you're a saved, born-again Christian and you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be a servant. You don't want to lose your servitude, because if you lose your servitude, you lose more than you can imagine. And you keep your servitude by your testimony. It's your testimony. The two witnesses and 144,000 were sealed because of their testimony. Unfortunately, Dan was not mentioned. It's his own fault. By the way, my name is Dan. Well, whatever. Different Dan, I believe. In closing, let me do this. I think we have a good testimony here. I really do. We had a good testimony at the car wash. If one of the people at the car wash wasn't telling them how to be saved, I was. It was fun. except for the philosopher. Whatever. Anyhow, the Bible says we're all sinners. And the Bible says, because I'm a sinner, this hand represents me, this represents my sin, then sin needs to be paid for. I can either pay for it myself, which somebody has to, and if it doesn't get paid for, then when I die, I have to pay for my sin. Or, the Bible says, Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And, of course, the Bible says all I have to do is believe it. That's great, huh? The very second I believe that, he takes my sin, puts it to his account, marks it paid. I don't know how many people we've told that to in the past couple of weeks. Probably 3 or 4 dozen, at least. Don't see him in church, but whatever. Or I don't have to, but you know, hell is a pretty hot place, isn't it? Burn my beard off doing that. Or like that commercial on TV where the guy eats a hot taco or whatever it was and burns his beard off. Yeah, could happen. Anyhow, if you're here this morning, you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. He takes your sin and marks it paid. And then after you believe that, you can either be like the tribe of Dan and lose your testimony by getting into false religion, getting religious, or you can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and keep your testimony. And then when you get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have a large servitude. Think about it. You'll be sitting on a big throne judging an awful lot of people. It's going to be great. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close, if you will. Dear Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ the Lord. He was God. Always has been. Still is. Always will be. He came down from heaven, took on flesh and blood, died on a cross for my sins. Our sins, the sins of the world, and all we have to do is believe it. How simple can you get? I believe it. Do you? We thank it for it, Lord, and we ask your blessings on everything that we do for you. And from the last verse in the Bible, the last prayer in the Bible, even so, come, Lord Jesus, beam us up, Lord, in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to try another new song. I know you're pleased about all that. Let's see, number.
Okay. What number is it?